reducing the growth of out-of-control spending by nearly $1 trillion in exchange for the expected request from the president for a $1 trillion increase in the debt limit.
Only then, says Alexander, will the Congress truly be able to say it's not kicking the can down the road. Linda Kenyon, Capitol Hill.
Manufacturers and retailers who rely on East Coast and Gulf Coast ports can breathe a bit easier. Longshoremen had threatened a strike for Sunday that could shut down those ports, but now a federal mediator says the union has agreed to extend the contract for 30 days. In the meantime, talks will continue. Also at SRNnews.com, don't stand near the edge and keep your eyes open. A lot of New York City subway riders are heeding that advice today, following another case of a man being shoved to his death in front of a moving train. Strap hanger Nathan Ray.
Well, it's a big city, and there's always going to be some element of unpredictable randomness like that. As far as personal safety, I mean, there's a reason why they stand back from the tracks.
Surveillance video released by the NYPD shows the woman who pushed the man off the platform last night running from the subway station following the attack. The Dow is down 74 points, the NASDAQ off 8, and this is SRN News.
Good afternoon, Tucson at 12:02. I'm Ray Allen at AM 1030 KVOI. The Voice, this news update is provided by the Arizona Daily Star. Tucson News Now reports Tucson City Councilmember Steve Kozacik is planning a local gun buyback event. Kozacik says the event, which is unscheduled, will give citizens a safe, no-questions-asked opportunity to turn in weapons that you not want or feel uncomfortable having. He plans to get sponsors to offer gift cards for each gun turned in. Safeway has pledged $1,000 in cards. He still needs $4,000 to make the event happen. And the state's average fuel price is down to $3.05 a gallon this week, while the national average rose to $3.26 a gallon. Arizona AAA's year-end review shows the average price for a gallon of gas in 2012 was $3.53 a gallon. That's 19 cents more than Arizona's 2011 average fuel price and the highest annual fuel average on record for the state. This week, Tucson and Flagstaff hold the low and high fuel averages at $2.87 a gallon in Tucson and $3.39 a gallon in Flagstaff. Tucson News Now reports that Pima County Sheriff's deputies in Green Valley put out a fire and evacuated elderly residents yesterday at the Del Coronado Apartments on La Cañada Drive. The deputies arrived before firefighters. They helped the elderly residents evacuate and put out the fire burning on a stove. No one was hurt, and the fire was ruled accidental. Tucson weather tonight, looking for a low around 32 degrees, so it's going to be a cold night. Nice sunny skies the rest of the afternoon. Saturday and Sunday, highs around 62 with mostly sunny skies on Saturday. Then a chance of showers coming in Sunday night and sticking with us on Monday. 51 now in Tucson, coming up the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on KVOI for this Friday, December the 28th, 2012. Hope you're having a great day and hope you had a great Christmas and having a good Christmas holiday week. I am Bill Buckmaster, and we thank you for choosing the Buckmaster Show. We are live with this program Monday through Friday, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI. We call it Tucson's intelligent voice. We're streaming our show live at buckmastershow.com and at kvoi.com. The show is available anytime, anywhere, because we post it usually within about an hour of the conclusion of the program at buckmastershow.com, tucsoncitizen.com, and tucsonsentinel.com all post our program, and we have now a link on the homepage of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. That website is gvnews.com. Also a link on the homepage for blogforarizona.com. Our Friday Focus interview today is with Marshall Vest. Mr. Vest is the director of the University of Arizona-based Economic and Research Center at the Eller College of Management. Joining me to question Marshall Vest is Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and Soharita Sun, and we welcome you to join in the conversation. If you have a question or comment about our economy and you would like to relay that to Marshall Vest, call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. The Friday Focus interview on our show is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community for adults 55 and better. You can find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Dan Scheer, good to see you.
Good afternoon.
And we welcome Marshall Vest. Marshall, good to see you.
Yeah, likewise, Bill.
Well, this is kind of a end-of-year uncertainty time, to say the least. And I guess your outlook for 2013 is dependent on, well, do we go off the fiscal cliff or do we not?
Well, that's the big uncertainty at this point, Bill. You know, if it weren't for the fiscal cliff, we'd be looking for the economy of 2013 to actually look pretty good with an acceleration as we go through the year. The economy actually is in pretty good shape. We got the third quarter GDP number in that showed growth of 3.1%. We know that the fourth quarter won't be quite as good because of Hurricane Sandy. But, you know, that deleveraging process that we've been going through as part of the financial crisis, that deleveraging process is well along and coming near an end. The household financial obligations ratio as a percent of disposable income is back down to normal levels, so households are in really good shape. And business finances look really strong. Housing is recovering now, no longer a drag on the economy. So all the fundamentals look really, really good.
And Marshall, we just got some good news. Terry Bracey, who is our contributor in Washington to the Buckmaster Show, just sent us an email from D.C., and he says, as I predicted, it appears they are headed for an agreement on this fiscal cliff. Terry says a couple of hang-ups, the new tax rate on $400,000 and up, and the limit on the estate tax, probably back to $5 million exclusion with higher rates on the rest. So that's some good news if Terry's prediction comes true, isn't it?
It's very good news. We didn't have a whole lot of confidence here as the year-end approached. If you'd go back, you know, 3, 4 months, 6 months, the expectation was Congress just has to understand what a dire situation they would be putting the economy in if they did nothing. And so, you know, I totally expected a lot of theatrics and an 11th hour, but I mean, this is 11 hours and 59 minutes here.
Here's Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News, Marshall.
Well, Marshall, as we start to slice and dice, if the Democrats are concerned about shifting too much of the deficit reduction burden onto the middle class, what is the danger, though, of having the upper class, the top earners, shoulder more of the burden?
I think that concern is overblown, personally. I mean, if we were to just go back to the rates that we had prior to the Bush tax cuts, I believe the top rate was 39.5%. The economy was doing very, very well. So, going back and rolling back those rates, which is what that Bush tax cut was all about, it was set to expire. And so it's not as though we are increasing taxes and tax rates at this point. We're just simply getting to the end of the Bush tax cuts.
Then what are the Republicans stomping their feet over?
It's ideology. the idea that you can never increase taxes, you can never increase tax rates, or you will hurt the economy.
But you don't believe that.
Well, this goes back back to Professor Laffer and his supply side economics. He made some very good points about incentives, but back in those days, the marginal tax rate was something on the order of 90%. So if you earned a dollar, 90 cents of it went to taxes. Now,
sure.
Now that was a real problem. So 39.5% where tax rates are today are nowhere near being confiscatory. We do need to be concerned about raising taxes on middle income and lower income families, but I don't see a big impact on the economy by boosting taxes on higher income earners.
12:12 now on the Buckmaster Show. It's our Friday Focus interview. Dan Scheer is here from the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Marshall Vest is our newsmaker. Friday Focus interview today. Marshall Vest, the economic forecaster, has been for many years at the University of Arizona. If you would like to join in the conversation, 790-2040. Marshall, consumer confidence for December. I think a lot of consumers were holding back because they were worried about the uncertainty, weren't they, in Washington?
Well, we have two reports on consumer confidence, one out of the University of Michigan and the other just yesterday from the Conference Board, and both reported very large drops in consumer confidence. Again, the focus has been on Congress's inability to make progress on this fiscal cliff issue. So this will be a big relief if Congress does get something passed.
Dan Scheer again of the Green Valley News.
Marshall, the fiscal cliff really is as a result of an attempt to address our national debt. Will any of these fixes really address that problem? That seems to be lost in all of this conversation. We seem to want a short-term fix, but in the long term, this debt is pounding on the door.
Well, we won't solve the deficit in the near term. This is going to take a number of years to solve. Actually, if you look at the deficit as a percent of GDP, it's come down significantly from what it was just two or three years ago, and is headed lower even without the fixes to the fiscal cliff.
12:14 on the Buckmaster Show. Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Mike has a fiscal cliff comment question for Marshall Vest. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah. Hello, gentlemen. I just heard the question posed, what are Republicans counting their feet about? And I can tell you what this Republican's counting his feet about. It's the spending and the debt. No one seems to care about that. No one talks about cutting spending or the trillions of dollars of debt we have. And I'll hang up and listen to your response.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. Here's Marshall Vest.
Well, Mike, there's two sides of this fiscal cliff issue. One is the idea that you need more revenues, and the flip side of that coin is we need to cut spending. And the best analysis that I've seen on this, and the people that I think really understand this, say that you can't do the you can't bring the deficit down without doing both. You can't just do it by increasing taxes. You have to cut spending. You can't just do it by cutting spending. You have to have some increases on the revenue side as well. Revenues currently are somewhere around 15% of GDP. Long-term, historically, they've been more like 19 or 20%. Spending is currently around 23% of GDP. It needs to be, 20-21% would be long-term average numbers. So, we need to have both additional revenues and spending cuts.
Marshall Vest is with us on the Friday Focus interview. This is the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Dan Scheer is also here from the Green Valley News. 790-2040, 790-2040. If you have a comment or question for Mr. Vest, he would be delighted to take it. We will be right back.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Even the highest efficiency washing machine won't make your laundry soft and bright if you have hard water. It's the same for your dishwasher with spotted glasses. So why not call the Culligan man? Culligan now has a high-efficiency water softener that virtually eliminates hard water problems throughout your entire home. Your laundry is brighter and softer, glasses and shower doors are spot-free, and soaps and detergents last longer. Plus, it saves you up to 46% in water, salt, and energy. So if you're looking for ways to end hard water problems and save money around the house, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener works wonders. In fact, it makes all of your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer. Thanks to Culligan, 100% satisfaction guarantee, your future, your home, and your laundry are guaranteed to be brighter. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan. Better water, pure and simple.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1, 2, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union, improve your financial life.
Now in its seventh year, the RTA has finished over 400 projects, including five major roadways. Current projects include the Modern Streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. With ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service, providing jobs and making travel around our region faster and safer, the RTA is delivering our promise to you.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to our Friday Focus interview with Marshall Vest, economic forecaster from the University of Arizona, 790-2040. If you have a question about the economy, Dan Scheer is with me from the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Marshall, this population growth, the Census Bureau came out with some new information. That population growth in Arizona, a state that had been traditionally certainly one of the fastest growing in the country with Nevada, has really flattened out, hasn't it?
Yeah, it really has. The Census Bureau just released their estimates for 2012. And the good news is Arizona ranks eighth among all states for population growth. Now, historically, we've consistently been in the top five over the past century and just decade by decade, always in the top five. So, you know, eight is a little below where we normally would land. The Census Bureau says that population statewide increased by 86,000 last year. That's an increase of a little over 1.3%. On December 15, the state demographer for the state of Arizona released his estimate, and he shows growth of a little over 0.9%, so a little slower, and an increase of about 60,000 people. And he pegs the population just right at 6.5 million statewide.
And nationally, the population has not really grown since, it's the lowest level, since the growth rate since 1937.
Yes. And the reason for that is, of course, we have an aging population. We have fewer women in childbearing years and coupled with lower fertility rates. And then very low rates of immigration, people coming to this country.
Here's Dan Scheer from the Green Valley News.
Kind of tying that together, SB 1070 prompted a lot of illegal immigrants to leave Arizona. I've heard some estimates of over 100,000 people maybe in the last 2 or 3 years. Now that we're a little bit removed from that, how has that affected the economy in Arizona, the fact that we do not have those people here anymore?
Well, Arizona's economy really went through the ringer in the Great Recession. And we lost a lot of jobs because of the bust in housing. But we also had Senate Bill 1070 working at the same time. So if you were a worker that didn't have papers and you lost your job, there was a real strong incentive to head east to Texas,
right,
or south, or any state other than Arizona. So one of the manifestations of that is that the number of births in Arizona declined by unprecedented amounts. We've never seen a decline in births like we saw here in Arizona. So that suggests that women of childbearing age actually left the state. Couple that with the fact that fertility rates are for Hispanic women are twice those of the general population. And you come to the conclusion that a lot of Hispanic women of childbearing age left the state.
Sure.
And I think that's Senate Bill 1070.
Right.
Housing prices looking better, Marshall Vest?
Housing prices are up. The Standard & Poor's Case-Shiller just released its home price index. It shows prices rising across the country by 4.3% over the past year. Metro Phoenix actually leads the nation with housing price increases in excess of 21% during the past 12 months. You must realize that prices are still well below their trend line and well below the peak, but at least prices are rising now. And so that's a very, very different feel for the market. We have a lot of investor interest wanting to to get in on the bottom with the expectation of some price appreciation and some profits going forward.
And this state-to-state mobility remaining depressed, that impacts our housing market big time, doesn't it? Especially for seniors who would like to relocate here.
Well, yes, there's...
they have trouble selling their homes.
Yeah, immigration has, migration has been depressed because many people in other states who normally would come to Arizona have been unable to sell their houses because they owe more on the house than what the house is worth. So that's really depressed migration flows. And about half of our migrants come from California. So it's very good news that housing prices now are moving up, because fewer and fewer people are underwater on their mortgages.
Here's Dan Scheer again from the Green Valley News.
Down in Sahuarita and Green Valley, we've seen a lot of investor interest, and I know you've mentioned this a couple times. They do tend to drive up the prices of homes, but overall for a community, is it good or bad that you've got a lot of investor-owned homes?
Well, it's an important part of the process, and a positive part of the process, that that these assets are transferring to new owners. New owners who will manage the properties, who will rent them out and maintain the properties going forward. So, of course, in the long term, we really need to see household formation and to fill up all the vacant houses that are out there. Once we've brought the vacancy rate down, then it'll make sense to build houses again, and that'll have a very positive effect on the economy. So again, investors are a part of this process.
Growing the jobs, the economy, of course, very dependent on that. The unemployment rate, really, a couple of years ago, I think we peaked, didn't we, at 10.5%, something like that. We're down below 8%.
Yeah,
that's good news.
Yeah, statewide it was 10.5, and it's now at 7.8%. So we're making progress, to be sure. It's still quite high, but the unemployment rate has come down pretty significantly. That's good news.
So bottom line here, we only have about a minute and a half to go. Your outlook again for the Arizona economy.
Well, the economy in 2013 should be gaining momentum. We won't see a real kick until it comes time to build houses once again. Yes, we are seeing double-digit increases in building permits, but it's from a very, very low level, and I don't expect housing really to kick in until near the end of 2013. In the meantime, we will muddle through. We will grow, but growth will be below average, and let's hope that this fiscal cliff news is positive, and that they've made a significant effort to address the fiscal cliff. If not, if it's just a half fix, then there's possibility of a recession in the first half of 2013.
We will keep our fingers crossed that the news out of Washington will be good, that some kind of a settlement has been reached, and we can avoid going over the fiscal cliff. That would be the kind of the best Christmas present I think any of us could have, right, Marshall?
It would be for sure.
All right, Marshall Vest, thank you very much. Always a pleasure talking with you, and want to wish you and yours a very happy new year. Thanks a lot.
Likewise, Bill.
Coming up, Dan Scheer and Linda Valdez will be joining us from the Arizona Republic. It will be time for the Buckmaster Show Reporters Roundtable after we hear from the fine lineup of people who support the Buckmaster Show, and we ask that you support them as well. Thank you.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. When congressional leaders gather at the White House later today, they'll be hearing a limited proposal from President Obama aimed at avoiding the tax hikes and deep spending cuts slated to take effect next week. Manufacturers and retailers who rely on East Coast and Gulf Coast ports can breathe a little easier. Longshoremen had threatened to strike on Sunday, and one that could shut down those ports, but now a federal mediator says the union has agreed to extend the contract for 30 days, and talks will continue. There are still about 130,000 homes and businesses in Arkansas without power, about half as many as there were in the immediate aftermath of the Christmas Day blizzard. Updating Wall Street, the Dow down about 93 points. The NASDAQ is off 12. The S&P 9 points lower. More details at srnnews.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cunada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than 2 file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at coxbusinessaz.com.
The Rug Gallery is celebrating its 25th anniversary jubilee celebration with a colossal tent sale, offering up to 75% off at La Encantada Shopping Center at Campbell and Skyline in Tucson. With over 2,000 hand-woven imported rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. With an international reputation, the Rug Gallery has graced the cover of Christie's magazine and is featured in many other high-end publications. Stop by and check out the Rug Gallery with Arizona's largest in-stock inventory of fine, high-quality, hand-woven, imported rugs during the colossal tent sale with up to 75% off at Tucson's La Encantada Shopping Center in the foothills of the Catalinas. Or visit the Rug Gallery online at ruggalleryaz.com/sale or call 571-RUGS.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has 2 locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday. It's time for our Reporters Roundtable featuring local journalists who sound off with us on the top stories of the week. On the roundtable this week, Dan Scheer is here, editor of the Green Valley News, and Soharita Sun and Linda Valdez joins us, editorial writer for the Arizona Republic. If you have a comment or question, you can always join us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. The Reporters Roundtable on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community for adults 55 and better. You can find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Dan stays over from our interview with Marshall Vest, and we're joined now by Linda. Good to see you, Linda. Did you have a nice Christmas?
I did, Bill, and it's good to be here.
You were back east.
Yes, I went back to New York City. My daughter and I went back to do a little Christmas shopping before Christmas itself.
Nice little break.
It was beautiful. It was very nice.
Linda and Dan, so much depends, as we were talking with Marshall Vest, about this uncertainty. It's kind of like waiting for the other shoe to drop with this fiscal cliff. But Dan, there will be a lot of impact if we do go over the fiscal cliff for Arizona.
And I think the key word is the one you just used, and that is uncertainty. What do people think about this? And it was interesting as Marshall was talking about how first we fill up these empty homes and then we get some new construction going. Well, in Sahuarita, we have got a lot of new construction already going, but Sahuarita has kind of been ahead of most of the state anyway throughout this because we have seen tremendous growth and changes. But yes, could that all come to a screeching halt? I think it sure could.
And Linda, we're talking about more than a third of Arizonans who collect jobless benefits could be getting their final checks this week.
I think it's 21,000 people that could be affected by that. That would have a huge impact, not only on those individuals, but on the businesses that rely on them to buy food and buy rent, pay their rent, and so on and so forth. It really is a lot of uncertainty, I except for the fact that it really was expected, that we knew that Congress was not going to get its act together. They were going to push this to the furthest possible limit. We're not quite at the limit yet, but we're getting awfully close.
The countdown clock is almost upon us. Want to talk a little bit about Tom Horn, Arizona Attorney General, and Sheriff Babu from Pinal County, two gentlemen who are in the news quite often, and now they are in the news over this issue concerning arming school administrators. Tom Horn says perhaps that's what we should do, and Sheriff Babu takes it actually, Linda, a step further, saying we need to train and arm school administrators and designated teachers.
Well, this is just political opportunism at its worst. They're adding little but noise to this debate. They're pandering to the gun rights absolutists, and they really, the problem is, these are the voices that we hear over and over again when these kind of tragedies happen, is that you must not touch the Second Amendment. It is absolute. And we need to have a much broader discussion. We have an editorial in tomorrow's Republic that encourages people to raise their voices and try to counter some of this that is really quite predictable. And it's really pretty astounding that someone in Tom Horn's position shows such irresponsibility on this matter.
But like you say, Linda, it is political opportunism. And you look at Tom Horn and Paul Babu, two politicians who really want to get the attention somewhere other than on themselves because of things that they've gone through this past year. And so, yeah, they're trying to deflect a little bit. I sat down with this and I tried to look at this objectively, this idea of armed school administrators, and I cannot come up with one good reason to do this. And in Green Valley, where we have just tremendously deep thinkers down there, people are throwing out all sorts of ideas, but I'm not hearing this one.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is they approached Joe Arpaio, the biggest showman in the state, and he turned him down.
Wow.
He's talking about using his own posse members to circle schools. But even when, you know, if an idea is too bad even for Joe Arpaio, how bad is that idea?
And you wrote that editorial that we will be seeing tomorrow in the Republic. What's the bottom line to the editorial, Linda Valdez?
The bottom line really is that people need to engage in this debate if it's going to go anywhere, because if they don't, the loudest voices and the most passionate voices, which are the gun rights absolutists, they will prevail. And nothing will change.
Let's go now to the Buckmaster Show live line, and I believe we have Dan with us. Dan, go ahead. You have a question for Linda about school security.
Yes, he seems so concerned about having some security around for my children and grandchildren. I wish you'd tell us about the security around their newspaper offices and all of our judges and courthouses in public buildings. Our children are more important than these newspaper people who just hate America.
Okay, thank you, Dan. Security at the newspaper?
Well, I don't hate America. I'm a newspaper person. I don't know about that. We have to show a little. We have to swipe a card to unlock the door to get into the newspaper. I don't know how that qualifies. I think the issue is not that we want children to be unsafe in schools. The issue is that do we achieve that safety by adding more guns to the equation, or do we look at some of the other causes of these problems, such as mental health, in both in this shooting and in the Giffords shooting, which did not involve a school. There were huge mental health issues involved in those individuals. They were not treated. They were not taken care of. Those are things we need to look at. We need to look at the whole gun culture, the whole culture of violence in our society. We need to ask uncomfortable questions. We don't need to keep coming back at this same idea of, well, if you have a big gun, I'll get a bigger gun and I'll be safe. That's nonsense. Jared Loughner fired off 31 rounds in 30 seconds, arming a school administrator. How is that person going to be able to get to a locked box, get the gun, find the bad guy, aim, fire, and avoid hitting students in 30 seconds? I doubt it.
One thing I think, Dan Scher, we will see out of the tragedy in Connecticut, and I talked to two of the new members of the TUSD school board on the show. I believe they were with us last week, and they will be taking over on the TUSD board. They will be looking at beefing up the perimeters of elementary schools, similar to what we have seen with the high schools.
Right, and we've seen that already with fencing around most schools. Down in the Continental School District, which is a one-school district in Green Valley, they started locking the doors after this shooting December 14th. I understand what the caller was saying, and I understand the frustration, but the fact is that we have just under 100,000 public schools in the United States. And if you look at this from a common sense standpoint, we cannot afford to do what's been proposed here. It makes political traction is great. They're going to get a little bit out of this. But the fact is, you cannot arm these teachers. And my biggest concern about this is that we are going to have a lot of people dying at public schools, and it's going to be children who are getting a hold of these guns or their accidents or whatever. It is not worth it. There was an awful thing that happened on one of our schools on December 14th, but there were tens of thousands of schools where nothing happened. And I'm not saying it's not an important issue. I'm saying that this is not the way to handle it.
Let's go now again to the Buckmaster. Oh, sorry. Let's go now to the Buckmaster Show. Spilled Linda's water from Culligan. Luckily, she had not opened it, so there is not a mess here at the anchor desk. Let's go now, if you'll slip that on the headset again. Shelley Fishman is with us. Shelley has a comment, and it's a good one, about parental role in violence in America. Go ahead, Shelley.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
One of the things that hasn't been talked about when we talk about the culture of violence with movies and games, et cetera, is what are a parent's responsibilities and putting all of that into perspective. You know, we can't keep that stuff away from our kids, but we can certainly discuss it with kids in terms of what they've seen, how it impacts them, and do that on a constant basis so that kids can put some of this violence into perspective. And I'll take the answer off the air.
Yeah, I think you make a really good point, Shelley. Go ahead, Linda.
Oh, I agree. I think that's a very good point. Parents need to be engaged in what their children are consuming, the games they're consuming, the programs, the music, all of those things. I think a lot of parents really don't pay that much attention to what's going on, and they should, and they don't engage in conversation with their children about what they're seeing, and maybe set some limits and use the good old-fashioned word of no when a lot of this stuff that's coming out isn't worth consuming, and certainly should not worth it by children, not worth being viewed by children.
And Bill, we homeschooled our kids through eighth grade. We have three kids, and then we sent them off to high school. And I'll tell you this, people say, well, you're sheltering your kids. And I say, yes, we were. And I'm not going to make any apologies for that. But I'll tell you that around our table, we had discussions about what was in the newspaper, what their friends were talking about, what's going on in our society. And the caller is exactly right. To have those discussions and keep them going and answer your children's questions honestly. But like Linda said, sometimes you have to say no, and it's not going to make you very popular. But do you know what's going on in your own family? It's a very valid question.
Let's go now to Charles. Charles on the Buckmaster Show live line. Charles, go ahead. You're with Linda Valdez of The Republic and Dan Shear of the Green Valley News.
Linda and Dan, as journalists, I'd like to ask you a question. Can you name for me the reports of places where there are guns in schools, where the guns have been wrested away from the people carrying them? I mean, can you like point to a URL or maybe a newspaper report where in Conroe, Texas, where they have this armed teachers, and in Utah, where both the teachers and the students sit at the university level, but teachers in schools can be armed. There's no law against it there. And in places where they have it, can you show me document where any guns have been taken away, wrested away from the lawful carriers?
Okay, let's try Dan Shear.
Is the real question, would this be effective? Is that really what your question is?
No, my question is exactly what I asked. Can you name for me any incidents where, in the places where it's already happening and they already have armed staff, where any guns have been wrested away from people?
No, I can't.
Thank you.
Okay.
Is that a big concern? I mean, I think an equally large concern when you start arming teachers and administrators is that if you can give someone a gun, but to actually use it and shoot someone, I mean, obviously in Connecticut, we saw that teachers will lay down their lives for their students. But to shoot another human being, that's something that military and police officers have to be trained to be able to do. It takes a certain type of person. Giving somebody a gun does not mean they're going to be able to use it in an emergency situation. I think that's nor do I think that we want our schools to be peopled by teachers and administrators who feel comfortable with the idea of shooting someone.
And I think one of the closest comparisons we have here, and I know where the caller is going, is two of my brothers are police officers, and they say that people who have guns in their homes many, many times, they are wrestled away and they are used on the homeowner rather than the homeowner using them on someone who's climbing through the window. So there's just too many questions surrounding this. I just don't think it's worth it. And I tend to be much more on the conservative side, but I'm telling you, this just doesn't make sense. It really doesn't.
Dan, I wanted to also talk about a study in your area. Your paper, the Green Valley News and Soharita Sun, broke this story about an independent study supporting the long-held belief by some businesses and owners and real estate agents that a border checkpoint in southern Arizona has indeed hurt the property values in your area.
Right. The U of A did the study, but it was funded by the Department of Homeland Security, and they wanted to gauge the impact of checkpoints on communities across the country. And the residents, and what was discovered was that anything south of the checkpoint, we're talking about Tubac and Rio Rico, since the checkpoint has gone in, their housing values have indeed dropped quite a bit. The people who were interviewed for the study, and there were quite a few, were concerned about three things. One is circumvention, which is the checkpoint is set up, and the people who want to get around it have to go way out into the desert to go around it, and they call it like a football-shaped type thing. So they're concerned about safety. They're concerned about inconvenience, you know, because you don't know how long you're going to have to be at the checkpoint. Could be 2 minutes, could be 10 minutes. You could be pulled over for a secondary inspection. And then they were concerned about economic harm, and that's a huge tourist area, and people are concerned about losing dollars down there. I think the greater economic harm, other than the checkpoint, is just this perception in the media that this is a very dangerous place to be. Well, I came from the Phoenix area, and I'll tell you what, I'll take Green Valley, Sarita, and Tucson any day.
Quickly, can you give me a top story of the year in Arizona, Linda? We're really out of time, but I want to hear what you think.
Well, one of the top stories in the year was the fact that Russell Pierce lost in a Republican primary, and I think that says a lot about how Arizona has changed in the 2 years since 1070 was passed.
Rosemont Mine, and I wish that we had a conclusion at the end of the year like we expected. We don't.
Linda Valdez, Dan Shear, thank you both very much, and Happy New Year to both of you. Hope it's a great year for you.
Happy New Year to you,
Thank
Bill.
You.
Thanks a lot.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Life on Earth begins with water. The plants that sustain us and biodiversity that surrounds us. At UA Biosphere 2, water is big science. From our tropical rainforest and million-gallon ocean to the mountain slopes of LEO, our new landscape evolution observatory. By recreating the natural world on such an immense scale, LEO aims to reveal better ways to understand and manage global water resources. Come see how Biosphere 2 is being used to model climate science, test smart technology, and develop new environmental strategies that can help build a stronger 21st century community. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2, where innovation lives, just north of Tucson, America's science city. Explore today. More information at b2science.org.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 6 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, La Cañada from Ina to River, and Phase 2 of Saharita Road. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Of course, that music means the weekend is here. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, brought to you by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, makes a great winter weekend getaway, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson to historic Silver City. So much to do: arts, hiking, birding, you name it, it's fun over in Silver. And there are plenty of great places to stay, including Bear Creek Cabins, Manzano's RV Park, Little Toad Creek Inn, and Pinos Altos Cabins. You can check out more at Silver City, Grant County at southwestnewmexico.org. And here he is, the culinary cruiser himself, well-known and famed publicist around Tucson, Inside Tucson Business food writer Matt Russell, who broke out the favors and the party hat with the little 2013 on. He wore it to work. I mean, come on. He's so excited about New Year's Eve. Matt Russell is ready, and he's got, do you have a sash over that says 2013?
Yes, I'm wearing a sash and only a sash, Bill. Let's leave that vision with you and your listeners this afternoon.
And a baby diaper for the new year. No,
indeed.
Lots of fun things going on, and of course, one of my favorites, Contiki.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, for decades, Contiki has been a Tucson tradition, bringing us authentic Hawaiian cuisine. And on New Year's Eve, they're going to be hosting something called the Ernie Menehune and his Polynesian Review, for an evening of Hawaiian cuisine and island cocktails and live Hawaiian music and dance. This is kind of a luau-inspired evening, Bill, and it's exactly what we need to survive these cold temperatures here in Tucson. So I say line up those Mai Tais and Mahi Mahi and get ready for a Hawaiian New Year's at Contiki on Monday night.
Yeah, Ernie's been around a long time, and everybody says he puts on a great show over there at the Contiki.
He'll be 90 years old this year.
Yeah, he's pushing 90. Unbelievable. And what if I want a little comedy with my New Year's Eve?
Yeah, another fun and different way to ring in the new year is going to be over at the Viscount Suites for a comedy dinner and murder mystery show called Murder at the Vampire's Wedding. It's an award-winning and interactive whodunit, which is also going to feature, of course, a candlelit three-course dinner, some dancing, party favors, and a champagne toast. Now, they've done something fairly smart. They've said overnight packages are also available, just in case you're a little too scared to drive home after the murder mystery show. Let's welcome in the new year with this delicious murder mystery dinner party at the Viscount Suites.
And what would champagne and chocolate be? I guess what would New Year's be without champagne and chocolate?
Absolutely. You know, at my home, Bill, New Year's Eve to Mrs. Cruiser means lots of both, lots of chocolate and champagne. Now, at the Ritz-Carlton over in Dove Mountain, they're going to have plenty of both to go around at their special New Year's Eve event. In fact, after a four-course dinner at the Ritz, you'll be surrounded by an entire champagne bar.
Oh, my goodness.
As well as something that they call a chocolate decadence buffet. Imagine, Bill, a full range of bubblies from all over the world and more varieties of chocolate than your sweet tooth fantasies can muster. This is going to be an elegant way to usher in 2013 at the Ritz with two of the basic food groups, champagne and chocolate.
And I know your friends at Russell Public Communication, your colleagues, gave you that five-pound box of chocolate on Christmas Eve, and there isn't much left of it. This guy likes chocolate.
We're down to my last 7 ounces, Bill.
Have a great Happy New Year, Matt Russell.
Happy New Year to you,
Thanks
too,
Thanks a lot. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is provided by our friends at Culligan. Culligan offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. Folks, Culligan water, it simply tastes better. Support also comes from Splendido at Rancho Vistoso. You can find out more about Splendido at SplendidoTucson.com. Coming up this afternoon, the John C. Scott Show from 3 to 5. Then Monday morning, it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of our team, our lovely and talented producer, Rosemary Brandt, I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and a safe weekend and Happy New Year, everybody. We'll be back with you Monday at 12:04.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.